My name is Brenda Lenzen, and I am going to give a 10-minute sharing, continuing where we've been for the last 3 weeks, on the joy of the gospel, an encyclical by Pope Francis. There are copies out in the foyer if anyone's interested. As just a small review, I'm going to tell you where we've been so that you, if you haven't been here the last 3 weeks, you can kind of catch up. Sharon talked 3 weeks ago about, and she introduced the letter, and she encouraged us to pray for a renewed personal encounter with Jesus, for the grace to respond to our Holy Father's exhortation to this encyclical, to spread the joy of the gospel to three principal groups: members of the local church, the baptized who have fallen away, and those who do not know Christ or who have rejected him. And then Larry spent the last 2 weeks talking about chapter 1, and the thrust of his exhortation was to purposely pursue someone in one of those categories. Today, I'm going to, today and next week, I will spend talking about chapter 2. And I feel like, to some degree, when the assignments were given out, I drew the short straw. Because chapter 2, the Pope considers briefly some factors that restrain or weaken missionary renewal in the church. He basically gives a state of the world diagnosis, as well as addressing what is wrong in the individual hearts of the evangelizers. And as we can surmise, it's not a good report. So this week I'm going to focus on the world, and next week we'll explore what the Holy Father says about the state of our hearts. So, can I take this off, David? Got it. That helps to turn it on. Okay. The Pope first addresses what part economics plays in the world, and I will briefly summarize. This chapter is about 40 pages long, so in 10 minutes we have to just give surface. I encourage you all to read it. He says that we should say no to an economy of exclusion and inequality, that such an economy kills, and he gives us examples. And he says, how can a drop in the stock market make the news, but the death of an elderly homeless man does not? He says, how can we continue to stand by when food is thrown away while people are starving? He says that today everything comes under the law of competition and survival of the fittest, where the powerful feed on the powerless. He says that we are deadened by a culture of prosperity. We are thrilled when the market offers us something new to purchase. But in the meantime, all those lives that are stunted because of lack of opportunity are a mere spectacle, and they fail to move us. He says money is an idol. Man is reduced to one of his needs alone, consumption. We are plagued by inordinate consumption and unbridled consumerism. He says that the market rules at the expense of human rights, at the expense of the environment, and at the expense of common good. A financial system must serve, not rule, and he encourages financial experts and political leaders to ponder the words of St. John Chrysostom, who said, "Not to share one's wealth with the poor is to steal from them and to take away their livelihood. It is not our goods which we hold, but theirs." So I'm going to stop here at this point after I've talked about what he says about the economics of the world. And aside from the theologians and the economists in this room, of which I am neither, do any of you have a problem like I do understanding how do we take what the Pope just said, what's wrong with our global economy at a local level and at a global level, how do we apply it to us? I can honestly ponder it all day, but I still don't understand what I'm supposed to do. When the Pope talks about this, in some way inside of me, I, as a Westerner, feel threatened. He talks about, you know, all of this consumerism, and that's us. And so I get confused, and I'm almost threatened. But in reading this, the Pope is exhorting us to go deeper, to educate ourselves, to get out of the boat, and to come up with solutions that work for us. Last week, Paul Mora shared that he has that he's been called to have a care package in his car to hand out to the homeless. My son Matt has exhorted me to, if I give money out my window to the homeless man or woman on the corner, to introduce myself and say, "Hi, I'm Brenda," and ask that person for their name, and thus give them dignity as another human being, the dignity that they deserve. So I tried this week, and I gave money to this man, and I said, "Hi, I'm Brenda. What's your name?" And he said, "Mike." He said, "Michael, like the archangel." And so I was able to say, "Michael, like the archangel, have a great day." And we both smiled, and we made that connection. I think another thing that we can do to get out of the boat in this area is to read. Read the summary of the church's social teaching. It's everywhere. And if you don't want to read, you can get it on a podcast. Study this encyclical. Study Laudate Si, which the Pope just came out with. But the bottom line is, do something. Don't sit by because the problem is too big to wrestle with, or I'm too old or too young to do anything, or because I'm not an economist or a theologian, I really don't have anything to say on this subject. Do something, because understanding the problem, as opposed to being paralyzed by it, is the first step of solving the equation. So next, the Pope talks about the rapid change in the world brought on by mass media and immorality. He says that the influence of mass media specifically on the Southern Hemisphere and Asia, areas previously untouched by Western influence, is having a disastrous effect morally. He speaks about the attacks on religious freedom and the influence of relativism versus truth. He says that alarmingly, the Catholic Church is being infiltrated by groups and movements promoting a spirituality without a God. Next, he talks about postmodern culture promoting individualism and devaluing relationships. And he also talks about the utter breakdown of the family, which we know only too well. All of this rapid and negative change in the world's terrain requires, according to Pope Francis, very strategic, and I love this, very strategic evangelization. So again, just like the economy, we must ask ourselves, where do I fit in? What is the Holy Father saying to me, Brenda Lenzen? It would be easy to take the stand that the internet is just simply uncontrollable. It is a wild beast gone bad. It would be easy to grab a bag of potato chips, sit on our couch, and say to ourselves, "This is not my problem. I feel like my family isn't broken down, my religious freedom isn't being effective, and I have enough friends, and I'm tired of working on new relationships." Yet I wonder if the Pope isn't encouraging us to look beyond these excuses. Am I going to the Lord in prayer about my role, or am I stymied by the negative direction the world is taking? Or am I excited that the Lord has me living in this time, in this place, specifically because he needs me and has a job for me to do? And as pro-life people, we believe that the Lord has a job for us to do till the day we die. So I don't care if we are 5, 18, 25, 50, or 80, God needs us to reach out to this broken world. In fact, the Pope says in chapter 2 that it is his hope that whenever we attempt to read the signs of the times, it is helpful to listen to the young people and the elderly. Both represent a source of hope for every people because the elderly bring with them memory and wisdom of experience, which warns us not to foolishly repeat our past mistakes. Young people call us to renewed and expansive hope, for they represent new directions for humanity. And if you think about it, we have both groups represented in this building today. We all can be represented as the elderly. And down the hall and up in the upstairs Michael Hall, we have the youth. And I have the privilege of being with them every other week. And you all, they are an inspiration. They are excited. And they are our children. And so we then look on to the fact that we are rich, and we are rich indeed. So this week, I encourage you to read the last verses of the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm going to read it really fast. I know we need to go. But in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, this is so familiar to everyone, but listen to it with hope. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all the commands I gave you. And look, I am with you always, yes, even to the end of time." So we need to refuse to give in to the apathy, to the fatigue, to the despair, or the flight, and face the challenges in our culture with strategic purpose, led by the Spirit of God to spread the joy of the gospel. And the Pope ends chapter 2 with this amazing statement: "Challenges exist to be overcome. Let us be realists without losing our joy, our boldness, and our hope-filled commitment. Let us not allow ourselves to be robbed of missionary vigor."